the phone line with us to take up these numbers is Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good morning to you, Mike. Thanks so much for taking the time with us. I'd like to take a little different tack today. Read that last dollar index as we went in. Can you kind of give us a trend of the dollar over maybe some time and historical context that we can put trade on the global perspective with, please?
Yeah, very timely question, Todd. You know, we've been in a sharp uptrend ever since the middle part of 2014 until the earlier part of this year, and essentially have gone sideways at this point ever since the springtime. The trade, it continues to worry, however, that with the U.S. Fed interest rate hike looming, that the dollar is going to make another move to the upside and a substantial gain at that. And so we've kind of been under the wire here of fear and sentiment that the dollar is going to go sharply higher again as we get this first rate hike underneath us. Now, what's happened is, as a result of this sideways trade of lower highs and higher lows and lower highs, we've seen this wedge formation take place, or pennant formation take place in the monthly chart. With September concluding this week, we've got a very important wedge breakdown today with that 880-point decline in the dollar index. So we look like right now that we're entering the fourth quarter with actually a sell signal in the U.S. dollar. And so in a contextual format, this is very, very important for the volume for ag commodities and the commodity sector as a whole.
Okay, so again, let's talk a little bit about that wedge. How far back does it go and where does it start?
Yeah, the initial breakout would have been back around the middle of June of last year, with the peak coming in around March of this year. And then since March of this year, we've had a wedge or pennant formation come into play, and we've been very close to like the 10 and 20 week moving averages as far as where we settled each month, essentially ever since the March time period. And you know what this goes back to, I think, on a weekly basis is and the fact that we did end the third quarter this week, Todd, is the idea that if the dollar has good news like it had earlier this week in terms of a weaker equity market and a safe haven bid should have been in the dollar there. European Central Bank said that they're ready for more quantitative easing. That should have brought some buyers into the dollar. The Russian-U.S. conflict in Syria probably should have brought some buyers into the U.S. dollar as a safe haven as well. But what we've seen as a result is the trade not only did not buy the dollar on bullish news, but then we got the jobless claims and unemployment figures this morning, and the trade sold off very, very sharply. And it exacerbates these fundamentals that you couldn't buy the rally, and now you're selling aggressively at this stage. And I think this is where it goes back to this pennant, and this technical formation is probably starting to work its way into the trade sentiment. Good news for the ag commodities, in my opinion.
Yeah, so a couple of things. The numbers at that came out this morning that showed jobs weren't quite as good as, and they weren't terrible, weren't quite as good as we had thought over the summer. And that then gives people the idea that the Fed probably won't consider raising interest rates in the near-term future. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it's a confidence issue in the dollar. It's that safe haven dollar buy. You know, what we're seeing is the bonds are going sharply higher in a safe haven bid as the stock market goes lower and because of these jobless figures. But we are not seeing that complemented with the dollar going sharply higher with the bonds. That's an important distinction in my view.
Correct. And so you're looking for a breakout to the downside out of this wedge formation for the dollar. If it moves lower, it does what to U.S. commodities on the global marketplace and their competitiveness?
Well, it's kind of neat because the World Trade Organization came out at midweek and talked about the volume of merchandise trade or world trade growth in merchandise terms, volume terms, being lower than their prior estimate. But they excluded agriculture commodities, and they talked specifically about China and how, although they've seen iron and steel go down about 10%, imported machinery go down 9%, herding companies like Caterpillar and John Deere, they also noted that cereal grains were up 130%, oil seeds up 33%. And so I think we're starting to see even with the firm dollar, the agriculture sector be a beneficiary of this Chinese transition in their economy from more export-led to more domestic consumption-led. If the dollar goes lower even more, that should help other Asian countries and help us become more competitive against Europe. And we will see that, I think, most in the wheat complex.
Does it translate into a higher price for any of those commodities based on new demand or extra demand from those countries, or shifting demand from, for instance, South America back to the United States? Or is it simply that we ship more over time?
Yeah, this is where I think we simply ship more over time, and that's an excellent point to make. But I also think it introduces the issue for the investors out there and the asset allocators to maybe look at commodities more favorably. One of the nicest things to see today that you want to continue on for the commodity complex as a whole is that gold is also being sought out as a safe haven with U.S. bonds at the expense of the dollar. And so now what we need is to trip a buy signal in the crude oil market. And if we could get the gold and the crude oil together, I think those investment allocation funds would start to really look at commodities as let's go from 1% or 2% of our portfolio back up to 4% to 5%. Because after all, look how low the prices are. We're encouraging demand, and now the dollar's breaking down. So you essentially take away most of the reasons why they've stayed out of the market.
All right. This afternoon, I want to try a different tact with this and stay with it during the closing market report. Maybe we could go back and look at the September WASD report from 2014. Which showed, I think, 470 or 475 million bushels for the carryout for the just-ended year for soybeans. Of course, we ended up with 210 at the moment. But they also said at that same point last year, the average cash price for soybeans would range from $9 to $11 or a $10 midpoint, and the marketing year average ended up being $10.06. So I'm wondering whether this all works into what you've been talking about just now, and how that works together. Can you help me out with that this afternoon to kind of explore the possibilities?
I'll sure do my best, sir.
And I'll talk to you again in a second. We'll try to walk our way through it. Hey, thanks so much. Okay. I do appreciate it, Mike. Mike Zuzalo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday morning edition of the Mid-Morning Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It'll be 10 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3. Urbana on our way to a beautiful day, just a 64-degree top. That's the high for the day. Northeast winds at 15 to 18, gusting to 28, partly sunny skies. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 47. Feels like fall. It is fall, so why not? Northeast winds at 14 to 16, gusting to 23. And Saturday, cloudy skies, a high of 61. Northeast winds at 16 to 18. Saturday night, cloudy and a low of 49. On Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 67 degrees. Northeast winds at about 11 miles an hour on Sunday, and then we'll drop to 53 on Sunday evening with a mostly cloudy sky. Monday, to start the work week, partly sunny, a high of 72 degrees, partly cloudy on Monday night, and 51.